Hi, I'm Malcolm.
Hello, everybody. My name is Harris Pick.
Yeah, my name is Miles. I go as Miles from Home.
I'm Justine Tyrell, R&B artist.
And you're listening to Background Noise, the coolest Canadian music podcast.
Thank you so much for tuning into Background Noise today. I'm your host, Tor. As always, I'm super excited for today's episode, especially because, like, I feel like we're going to be chatting with a pretty big name, especially in the Edmonton music community. I feel like I see this dude playing shows all the time. I haven't actually gotten to, like, see one of his shows yet, but I see him on bills all the time. I feel like he's always doing something. It's going to be a super chill episode. We're going to be chatting with Vaughn Beaker, and I just love what you have written in your, like, Bandcamp bio as to, like, what the genre is, and it's bow tie rock and folk, and I love that so much.
I was trying to figure out what do I have written in my Bandcamp bio.
It's bow tie rock. That's what it is. I always like to get the show started, though. I'll just let you tell me a little bit about yourself, your journey with music, and kind of your shtick.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I kind of blown away by your introduction. So something I'm doing is working if you're seeing my name on bills places. So that's good. We never know what's getting seen out there. Yeah, I've been making music for a really long time as Vaughn Beaker, which is a really mysterious stage name that is just my last name. So it's not nearly as cool or mysterious as it sounds, but decided to kind of go by that name about, it's probably like 8 years ago now. And just been building a career, trying to get better at songwriting, trying to get better at actually knowing how to play my guitar after playing it for decades and just kind of screwing around. And yeah, just trying to build and build. Songwriting is really important to me. I guess I play, a little bit of bow tie rock, as I call it, quite a bit of like indie folk as well. And the songwriting part is probably the most important to me. I really like making music that like connects with listeners in some way, because that's kind of what music has kind of saved my life so many times. So if I can be part of that cycle, that's a great thing.
Yeah, I'd have to say, just when I was listening to all your songs but before the show here, I really feel like you are one of those musicians that are heavy into the songwriting. Like, the songs themselves tell such these beautiful stories. Some of them are kind of sad, some of them aren't, but they're still just so detailed, and you're able to create such like an image in the listener's mind when they're listening to it.
Thanks. Yeah, that's the goal for sure. Yeah, I've taken a lot of like songwriting workshops and things and spent time with people I admire who can do that really well. So it hasn't necessarily come easy. Anything I've released as Vaughn Beaker, I'm pretty proud of. But if I go back like further, like I just found some tapes of like music I made on a 4-track when I was in high school the other day. And it was pretty mortifying. The music was good, but the lyrics were like, I was like, oh my goodness, I can't ever let this like leak out anywhere in the world.
I'm not even a musician, but I have like put out some songs and made some songs just for fun with my partner who is a musician. And yeah, whenever I listen to those and they're like 15 years old, I'm like, oh my God, what were we doing?
Yeah. Well, we're always growing, right?
Absolutely. Let's start with talking about your latest album here, 2024 album, Dumb Hope. I want to talk about the title track. Why don't you tell me a bit about Dumb Hope?
Sure. Yeah. So Dumb Hope is kind of this phrase that just started popping in my head and haunting me a little bit around, like, I think in the middle of COVID, or maybe near the last like half of the pandemic, and just how I really felt like I should be terrified of the world, like every minute of every day, which I mean, I always joke when I introduce this song that that's kind of the climate that I wrote this song in. And it was like the kind of world where you would wake up every day and you didn't know what you were going to read on the news and how it was going to shift your entire reality all of a sudden. And it just felt very like dystopian in a lot of ways. And then I leave a little pause and say, thankfully, we're not in that world anymore. Now we've moved on. And then everybody laughs, which is a really, depressing type of laughter to hear, because everybody gets it that we're still very much in those times in a lot of ways. But yeah, at the same time, there's like so many good, even through COVID, there are so many kind of good experiences I had with friends, or ways that we kind of made things work, or, built little fires in the dark wherever we were. So it was hard for me to just feel despair all the time. But whenever I would feel hope, it just felt kind of like naive or dumb or maybe even selfish, and like trying to really wrestle with how do you like eke out a life that has hope? Because for me, it's necessary. Like I have a lot of mental illness history in my family and myself as well. And so for me, like having a positive, being able to like see hope is like keeps me alive basically from day to day. So yeah, trying to balance that out. I think I was trying to fit all of that into a song, which I'm sure, you know, you never fit all of anything into one song, but maybe that's why it kind of spilled out and became a whole record. So
amazing. And yeah, I want to talk about just the album as a whole as well. So the whole album is called Dumb Hope, but why don't you just tell me a bit about the album as a whole?
Dumb Hope was really, most of it was written kind of around that same time or pulled together for the record. And I would send a bunch of demos to my producer, Paul Zacharias. He's in High River, Alberta. That's where we tracked about half the record, just outside of Calgary, for people who don't know where that is, like I didn't before this. Anyway, it was really collaborative even in selecting what songs we would work on. And so I think there's a lot of, I think the cohesion on the record is really tight, which is something I know we live in kind of a post-album society in a lot of ways. Like the idea of the album matters maybe less now than it ever has. But in some ways, I feel like that also makes it matter more, because when you find a record that really takes you on a journey and like everything belongs, it's a really special and kind of different thing. So that's kind of what I wanted to put out into the world. So even as we were recording the record, we made a lot of choices in production that kind of played into that. Like the first song, I always use the metaphor of it kind of like sets the table for like the meal you're going to have for the rest of the record. So you actually hear, I think, every instrument that's going to be on the record in that first song. And then the second song kind of peels everything back, and it's just like a pretty stripped down like guitar and banjo, like acoustic folk tune. But you don't hear horns again. You don't hear like cello or anything. I don't know. Cello might be the only thing that doesn't fit in that first song, but I think we squeezed it in there somehow. But you don't hear that stuff again until maybe several songs later. So yeah, I wanted it to kind of function like, kind of like when you're at like old movies used to do this all the time. They'd have like I think it's called like a reprise or something. I can't remember what it's called, but you'd basically hear like, you'd have the credits and you'd hear like clips of all the music from the movie before the movie even started. And it was just kind of like preparing you for this is what you're about, the ride you're gonna go on, right? Yeah. And then thematically, I think everything really does tie into that idea of dumb hope. As you said, there's a lot of, it's funny because when I started touring the record, I was like, oh man, this is actually a really heavy record. As I was singing these songs, there's a lot of really heavy themes, really sad stuff, and I was really worried that it was gonna come off as, you know, in that way. But the reaction that I've got from crowds and stuff and listeners has been like, I felt really hopeful at the end of this or whatever. So I was really glad that that came through, because for me, that's kind of the hard line I try and walk, is like, I don't want to write songs that are just like a Hallmark card about like how you should feel great about the world because it's a wonderful place and whatever else. But I think, you know, the real hope that matters is like the hope that kind of seeps through the cracks of everything that's kind of broken. So hopefully we got there.
Beautiful. And honestly, I love that little nugget now of, you know, setting the table with that first song and, you know, having all the instruments included in the first song that you're going to hear later on. That is so fun.
Yeah, it was a really fun way to build a record. And we were really intentional about it, which was like, it was nice just to be in that, you know, to think about the record as a whole and think like, how do we want? We definitely made decisions for songs throughout the record that would have been made differently if they were just a single on their own, right? Because it's like, well, we don't really want to use this many instruments this early in the record, or we just had another song that sounded that way, so we're going to treat this song differently. So there's a lot of songs I could probably redo in different ways down the line, but I think they all fit really well on the record the way they are.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And we're going to listen to Dumb Hope right away here off of Von Beeker's 2024 album, Dumb Hope. And then when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about some of your other songs.
Dumb Hope, it keeps me happy, but it keeps me broke. Don't I know? Dumb Hope, some days I wish it let me go, but it won't. No. Standing ankle deep in the ice caps, I'm holding your hand. just another week of holding time back. But it feels like taking a stand. Warm from moving in from 1980. Cold War heating up again tonight. And I'm just trying to survive without taking someone's life. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice? Am I fighting to pretend that we're not coming to the end? Or just trying to make it cross the line with all my closest friends? Dumb hope, it keeps me happy, but it keeps me broke. Don't I know? Dumb hope, some days I wish you let me go. But it won't, this crazy stupid hope. Plant another flower in the garden. Turn a little of the fading sun into one more beautiful and slowly dying day. One more mirror held up for everyone. Am I fighting to pretend that we're not coming to the end? Or just trying to make it across the line with all my closest friends? Dumb hope, it keeps me happy, but it keeps me broke. Don't I know? Dumb hope, some days I wish you'd let me go. But it won't, this crazy stupid hope. Refreshing the feet never refreshes me, and I am feeling so damn tired, like some living machine just programmed to need so much more, more all the time. Oh, untie me from these wires. I'll take my dumb hope, it keeps me happy, but it keeps me broke. Don't I know? Dumb hope, some days I wish it let me go. But it won't, this crazy stupid hope.
Background Noise is brought to you by Easy Noise, Alberta's newest booking service for independent musicians and venues. Check them out on Instagram at EZNOIZE. Get connected and make some noise. Now back to the show.
We are back. Thank you so much for tuning into Background Noise today. I hope you enjoyed that song as much as I did. It was so fun, and we got a fun little nugget that song includes all the instruments that you may hear later on in the album. It's all tied together so nicely. So I implore you to go listen to the album front and back. We don't have time to play all the songs today because this guy actually has a ton of songs out and a bunch of Christmas songs, which I'm not going to play because this is not a Christmas episode. But if you're into Christmas songs, go check his stuff out. There's a ton. Some of the other songs I want to talk about, though, you've done some work with some other people as well, which is really cool. And one of these songs, again, kind of sad, but also so beautiful. And you feature Taylor in there as well, too. And like, wow. So this song, We Don't Fight Anymore, it's off the 2024 album, Dumb Ho. But oh my God, what a beautiful, beautiful song. Kind of sad, super beautiful though. Why don't you tell me a bit about that song?
Sure. Yeah, it's one of the songs I'm the most proud of on the record for sure. Maybe most of all because Taylor's on it, and I feel like that's a pretty good get. Their voice is just like incredible. So there's a funny story behind that song. I wrote a song that I thought was kind of the saddest song I'd written to that moment, which was actually about like kind of that feeling after you have a fight with your partner when you're just kind of like sitting in like the funk of that, and you really want it to be fixed, but you don't want to be the one to like apologize first. You really want the other person to come forward and say that they did something wrong. I don't know if you've been there.
I have. I have.
I always ask, like, has anybody fought with their partner? And anybody who doesn't put up their hand, I'm like, you're either lying or something is unhealthy in this relationship. Anyway, I played that song like in a set. This was years ago, and it was in a set of, you know, a whole bunch of other songs. Wasn't like, I didn't feel like the standout of the show. And this like older guy came up to me after the show and he was like, great set. I really liked that one song, especially about fighting with your wife. And I was like, oh, interesting. So I kind of asked him like, what was it that you liked about it or whatever? And we were talking and he's like, you know, your partner, you and your wife are really lucky. And I was like, oh, why is that? And he's like, well, at least you guys still fight. My wife and I don't even fight anymore. And he went on to tell me this like devastating story about like how him and his wife were kind of just living in this like truce because they didn't want to hurt their kids. They didn't want to like disrupt things for their kids. So they were just like, they're now in like separate bedrooms and they were just like living two separate lives in this house. And I don't know how long that went on for, but that just seemed like so rough to me. So of course I went home and wrote a song about it immediately. And that was this song. And so this became the saddest song I think I've written, to me anyways. And then I was in the Canada's Music Incubator program, it's called. It's kind of a music entrepreneur development program that they do across Canada. And I was in that in Calgary in 2022, I believe, right when this record was kind of in the middle of being made. And that's where I met Taylor and heard them perform. And it was like, as soon as I heard them perform, I was like, oh man, this person sounds even sadder than me. With our powers combined, imagine the song we could make. So anyway, I knew I wanted to like work with them, and then started to think about having them on this song, started to think about this song as a duet, so that, because originally it wasn't written as a duet, and sometimes I perform it solo, but as a duet, it kind of takes on the voice of both partners in this relationship. And I think just like this extra layer that makes it a lot more interesting. So now when I play it, it's really great, because if there's ever like another female musician on the bill that is playing, that can add that voice to like the other side of that relationship for the character that I am in that song. I always like do, I've done this song as a duet with so many different artists now. I'm like, could you learn this one song for the show? So it's been really fun to kind of watch it evolve and change a little bit with whoever sings it. Yeah. And the production wise, we worked really hard on kind of the sounds and the song and trying to get it to feel a certain way. So I'm really proud of it.
Beautiful. And that's actually really cool. Just singing it with whoever else is on the bill. So if you've seen Von Beaker, you know, play three or four times, the song's going to sound slightly different every time you hear it, which is super cool. Another song that I want to chat about that you did with somebody else, I'm going to try my very hardest to pronounce it properly. Was it? And I was listening to the song and I was like, cool, he mentioned it in the song. And I tried to make a mental note of the pronunciation. I forgot it.
I'm so intrigued by what this word is right now because I have no idea what's coming.
Is it the I Lang Syne with Paul Zacharias?
Paul Zacharias, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, what is the word?
I'll spell it out for you. It's the AUIDLANGSYNE.
Oh, well, that's another Christmas song, actually.
I didn't even know that was a... Wow, a Christmas song snuck in here. Got him.
kind of. It's like, it's a New Year's song, actually. So that's Auld Lang Syne. It's just spelled like in a German...
Okay.
Auld Lang Syne, yeah. So that's like an old like pub song, like an old drinking song. Yeah, this was after Paul and I made the record together. And like you say, I try and do a Christmas song every year, just, I don't know why, but because I'm a big Sufjan Stevens fan, I think, and he infected me with that idea for like the thousands of Christmas songs he's put out. So I try to do one every year. It's, for me, it becomes like a bit of a playground just to try new sounds or new styles or whatever. And so this one was a New Year's song, obviously. But the year that I put it out, I work at a brewery in Edmonton called Bent Stick Brewing. So shout out to all my Bent Stick Brewing friends here. They did something really cool for me that New Year's. This would have been not this past one, but the one before. They actually made a beer for me, like, or we collaborated on a beer. I was like, I have this great idea for a beer. Do you think you guys would want to make it? So so it came out, it was called the Bowtie PA, of course. And it was like a champagne IPA. So it came out for New Year's. It was like a New Year's Day beer. And they had my band in to play at the tap room that day and to kind of celebrate the launch of the beer and like celebrate New Year's and whatever. So knowing that there was so much going on with like New Year's in my life that year, I thought this was the year to kind of tackle this song. So pulled Paul in on it. And it's also like, because it's a drinking song and it's kind of this really, it's actually this really beautiful like song about raising a glass to like times that have gone by in the past or people that you don't get to see very often anymore. And Paul is a good friend of mine, but as I said before, he lives in High River. So we only get to see each other a few times a year. So it felt like a fitting kind of like, you know, bromance song to each other.
That's actually awesome. And you know what? I have to say, I actually love when, like, I'm not the biggest fan of Christmas music in general, but I love when musicians make new Christmas songs, because the only reason I don't like Christmas songs is because you only hear the same 10 Christmas songs every year on repeat, no matter where you go. So shout out to all the musicians out here right now making new Christmas music. You're doing the Lord's work and we appreciate it.
It's hard because it's just been beat to death, right? And it's funny because I have a playlist on Spotify that I share out every year that's called Good This Year. And it's just like, to me, Christmas music that doesn't make me want to punch myself in the face. So it does exist, but it's like hard to find. But there's some really great, beautiful Christmas music that's been put out. It's just like you got to dig through the bins of just absolute trash to find it.
100%. We're going to spin about those songs right away here. And then when we come back, you actually sent me a few songs from some amazing local artists as well. One of them I'm super, super extra stoked to talk about. And we'll spin that when we come back.
We don't even fight anymore. I only know you're home by the click of the lock in the door. Your feet on the stairs as you make your way up to the second floor. You took the spare room in July. I tell myself you couldn't sleep, but I know that's a lie. I'm living with regret that I never even asked you why. And the kids in school are like a ticking time bomb. I know you're gonna leave me the second they're gone, and I wish I could have understood to keep fighting. Thank you.
like a ticking time bomb. I know you're gonna leave me the second they're gone, and I wish I could have understood to keep fighting.
Yeah.
Background Noise is brought to you by Easy Noise, Alberta's newest booking service for independent musicians and venues. Check them out on Instagram at EZNOIZE. Get connected and make some noise. Now back to the show.
We are back. Thank you so much for tuning into Background Noise today. We're chatting with Vaughn Beaker, the bow tie rock and folk guy from Edmonton. We just listened to a couple songs that he's done with some other artists, and they were just absolutely beautiful. But you sent me some songs as well, one of which I'm like super extra stoked to play.
I just got to say, I love it. That's such a, that is my favorite thing. My favorite question you asked me, I think. Yeah, it's great.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. And you know, when I first started, we'll do a little side note here. When I first started, these songs were actually just anybody that like influenced you. So if you listen way, way back to season one, you'll hear some like Earth, Wind & Fire and like some, I think one person like was like Mastodon and stuff like that. But I love the Canadian indie music scene so much, and I just want to share the love, and I want to hype other people up in our little circles, that I was like, you know what? No, you guys have to now tell me two or three other local artists that either you've played with yourself, they're your friends, you know, you're just really stoked about, and you're like, oh my God, I saw these guys play live and they were so cool. So I was like, no, we're going to keep it local. We're going to keep it indie. We're going to keep it in the Canadian music scene and just share the love. So thank you.
Yeah, because there's so much good here. Like it's hard to narrow it down. So
100%. But the song that I'm super stoked that you suggested actually was Back in the Blue with Lucette and Muriel Buckley, who I cannot get enough of Buckley right now. She is just amazing. Why don't you tell me just a bit about your choice with that song?
Yeah, well, Lucette, I was actually looking for a Lucette song that I could share, just because Lucette's also really great. And she's got an EP, brand new EP that just came out. I think it's called something Girl from the Suburbs. I'm going to look it up before I make myself sound too dumb here. But anyway, I knew she had some new stuff that had just come out, and it all had a really cool vibe to it. And like, part of the test for me is being a local musician, I feel like I know a lot of these artists, and I, you know, we go Nice Girl from the Suburbs. That's the name of the record, the EP that just came out. Yeah, we kind of know these artists and we see them play a lot, and like you're pretty familiar with them. So whenever I, like, if something comes up on my like release radar on Spotify and I'm not really paying attention and I'm like, oh, this song is great, who is this? And then I look and see that it's a local artist. That's like one of my favorite moments, because I know it's kind of past the, it's like you're always going to tell your family that, or it's hard to trust like encouragement from people you love sometimes, even though they're being honest, but you're like, well, it's easy for you to say that because we know each other so well, or, you know, it's hard to ever hear your own music with fresh ears. So I feel like sometimes with artists that I know, it's like that as well, where you give people like a little bit more of a pass because they're local or whatever. So when I hear something that I'm just like, no, this song is awesome, and then I look it up and see like, oh, that's like, I know that artist. That's always like my favorite moment. So I think this song was one of those songs, first of all. Then I saw that it was, I remembered that she had done this duet with Muriel Buckley, who I also love. So I was like, I get to shoehorn two Edmonton artists in with this song. So
good pick with that one. Absolutely love it. And another one you sent me was Lincoln County Lion by John Hewitt.
Yeah, so John is like the hardest working singer-songwriter I know, hands down. Well, I mean, so is the other guy on this list, to be honest. But yeah, just like super hardworking, super prolific, just puts out so much music. And I've heard a lot of it. And this was another one of those songs where it came on and I had no idea who it was. And I went and looked and I was like, oh, that's John Hewitt. And so John actually runs a booking agency called Second Sunset Productions, which I'm on the roster of. So we're in a working relationship together. And he's got some other great local artists on there, like Jed and the Valentine. And yeah, so it's a cool like group of artists that are in this little roster. So I kind of, he's somebody I'm always happy to support anyways, but this song has just got such a cool groove to it. I think all three of these songs just have a real like, well, the first two especially have like a real groove, kind of rhythmic, kind of groove vibe thing going on that I really connect with, so.
100%. Also, shout out Jed the Valentine. Love those guys. We've had them on Background Noise a few episodes ago. Check them out. They are, I think, the cutest folk couple I have ever witnessed in my entire life. My God, they're adorable.
Yeah, and they've got new music coming out soon, which I'm sure they were talked all about, but I'm excited to hear more of it. So
yeah, they're awesome. And The last song we're going to play in this little group here is The Losing Game by Joe Nolan and Kalu.
Yeah, I always... No diss to Kalu. I don't know who that is, but I always like read it and laugh in my head as Caillou, like that Joe Nolan did a song with Caillou, which I think would be hilarious, but it's not Caillou.
I'm not going to lie. I had to take a double take too on the name. And I also definitely, my first thought was Caillou, but then I was like, that's not right.
Yeah, he doesn't do any kids music as far as I know yet. So Joe is, yeah, just one of my favorite singer-songwriters, not just in Edmonton, but like just period. I think he's got like such a timeless voice. I always feel like there's a real depth to what Joe puts out. So I could have picked so many different Joe songs. I didn't think too long about this one. I just listened to maybe the first or second one. I was like, yeah, that one's good, and put it on. But I do really love, I think what I love about this song is like the production on it. It's got like a really cool guitar sound. I know he recorded, I think, a lot of this record at home on some like kind of analog gear and reel-to-reel tapes or things like that. So it's, and I don't know what Kalu did, but I'm sure they also made it better. But
amazing. We're going to spin those three songs here. We got Back in the Blue with Lucette and Muriel Buckley. We got Lincoln County Line, John Hewitt, and then The Losing Game with Joe Nolan and Kalu. And then when we come back, we'll chat a little bit more about some of your tunes.
Threw my smokes away.
Down the whole way 97 Chevy with a tear drop in your eye.
Never came true. There's this road, and she's laying so pretty, and I'm gonna see her through. When they ask you why I ain't around, tell them all I skipped town, left them city lights in the rear. Tired of the losing game, stuck with these small town blues again. All people here, all they talk about is change. Ain't it funny how things just stay the same?
About his change. Ain't it funny how things just
just stay the same.
Noise is brought to you by Easy Noise, Alberta's newest booking service for independent musicians and venues. Check them out on Instagram at EZNOIZE. Get connected and make some noise. Now back to the show.
We are back. Thank you so much for tuning into Background Noise today. I hope you're enjoying the episode as much as I am. We're chatting with Von Beaker, the bow tie rock and folk guy of Edmonton. That's the show title this time.
I think I can claim that. I think I am the only one in that very small micro genre. So
you're the king of that micro genre. I want to bring it back to you and talk about some of your other songs real quick, though. One of them, I think I listened to this one two or three times for the show because it was just so good. Santa Fe, which was on your 2016 EP Where the Air is Thin, but it also appeared on the 2021 album Long for This World. So why don't you tell me a bit about that song?
Yeah, so Santa Fe, I could just have spent this whole episode talking about Santa Fe, New Mexico with you, so I'll try not to do that. But Santa Fe, New Mexico is like my favorite place in the world. I just feel like it's I have a real like spiritual connection with that place and that land. I can't really even articulate why. It's real, like the high desert is just such a beautiful kind of harsh place, but there's like Santa Fe is this real kind of arts. One thing I'll tell you about Santa Fe. There's this place in Santa Fe called Canyon Road, which is like a 1 mile strip of road that has over 100 art galleries on it. So every time I've tried, it's like just art galleries and then, you know, a few restaurants and cafes or whatever. And every time I've tried to like walk down it and take everything in, I get about 2 hours, 3 hours, and you just get like, it's just kind of like sensory overload and you can't take it in. So it's more art than I could possibly take in a day. And I've tried. So that mixed with just the beauty of like the landscape. And the reason I was there is because I used to go to this like art and spirituality retreat every year, a big part of which was like a songwriting workshop. So I attribute a lot of my kind of songwriting growth to that event called the Glen Workshop. So that's why I was in Santa Fe. But then I really fell in love with the place. It's just a pretty amazing place. So I tried to capture a lot of like one of my trips to there and put a lot of like local kind of shout outs to like local things that I had done or seen in the city. And yeah, hopefully people who have been there can recognize some of it and maybe it can act as like a little bit of a travel guide to people who haven't been there.
That's super cool, actually. I've never been to Santa Fe, but I want to go check out this just strip of art galleries now. That sounds like the coolest thing ever.
It's crazy. It's hard to describe. And you know, I kind of felt like it might all be like a one kind of art or like not maybe more touristy, I guess, or something is kind of what I was thinking. But it's really broad. There's like everything from, you know, landscape painting to like contemporary sculpture and abstract stuff. So it's really just, yeah, it's so inspiring.
That's amazing. Another song that I want to talk about as well, one of your slightly older tunes, Artist's Life, off of your 2021 album, Long for This World.
You do your homework. I love this, Tora. Deep cut. These are like good deep cuts. I love it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a great, actually, like a perfect song to talk about after Santa Fe, because I had been to this event, I think, 6 or 7 times. And in 2019, I was going again, but I had never brought my family along. So I really wanted to show them this place that I had kind of fallen in love with. So I was going to go to this songwriting retreat. And the week before that, we were going to stay as a family, just like outside of Santa Fe in this Airbnb in New Mexico. And so that's what we were doing. And it was kind of like Spruce Grove to Edmonton would be like where we were staying to Santa Fe. So it wasn't right in town, but it was nearby. We were staying in this like acreage property. It was in like 100-year-old adobe house, which if you've never seen an adobe house, is just like literally made out of clay, like with someone's hands. It's pretty cool. I tell people to kind of imagine the Flintstones, because that's kind of what it looks like. And in the back of the house, the woman who owned the property lived there. And then we had the front of the house. So we wanted to like kind of not be noisy and not bother her, because she was, you know, on the property. Anyway, we were there for a few days and I was really getting inspired, as I do when I'm in New Mexico. And I wanted to like work on some music and write some songs, but I hadn't brought any instrument because I was really terrified to like fly with my guitar. So I started looking online to see if I could find somewhere to get a guitar or anything like that. Couldn't come up with anywhere that would rent them or anything. So I thought, well, the only person I know who's a local is our Airbnb host. And, you know, on a whim, maybe she knows something. I sent her a message through like the Airbnb app. And, you know, you use that to say like, we're out of toilet paper or something. Like, it's not really... You don't expect a really like quick response or like personal conversation. And so I sent this thing just asking if she knew anywhere that, you know, where they might have a guitar or something, I guess. And then I'd also mentioned there was this really cool, like pretty contemporary looking art hanging all in the Airbnb that I didn't recognize the artist or even the style. It was just this really unique art. So I asked her about that as well. Just like, oh, just curious about the art in here, who did it or whatever. So I sent that message and expected to go out for the day and come back and maybe have a reply or whatever. And it was like 2 minutes later, you hear this knocking on the screen door, and I go to the door and open it up, and she's standing there with like a guitar in each hand. And she's like, I got your message. I don't know anything about guitars, but these guitars both belong to my husband, and he passed away just 2 years ago, and they haven't been played since, and it would be great just to have someone play them again. So any one you want to use is yours for the time you're here. So I was like immediately touched by this and kind of taken aback. And as she was walking away, she turned back and said, oh yeah, and you were asking about the art in the Airbnb. Well, all of those paintings are mine. I used to be an artist. And so kind of the way she said, like, I used to be an artist. And then like this whole story with her husband and stuff, I knew, again, one of those moments where I knew I had to go and write a song about this and process it that way. So that, yeah, that became Artist Life. I never told her I wrote the song, kind of left, gave her the guitar back, went and did my little thing. And then it was like, you know, a year and a half later that this record was going to come out. And I thought, well, I probably should maybe tell this woman that I wrote this song kind of about her. I was quite nervous about it. And this was like deep COVID too. So I didn't know if like, would she be even doing the Airbnb anymore? Probably not. But that was the only contact I had for her. So I sent a message again through that Airbnb app and just said, hey, I don't know if you remember me. I wrote this song. Would you like to hear it? Kind of thing. And I didn't hear back for a couple of weeks. So I thought nothing was going to come of it. And then all of a sudden I got this email that was like, first line of the email was, of course I remember you, which I thought was really touching. Yeah. I ended up sending her the song, sending her a copy of the record. And then I got this like poster for like a music festival that she had painted, that she mailed back to me as like a gift in return for the song with this lovely little note. So that hangs in my studio now. And it's one of my favorite stories as a songwriter, that, you know, just to be a part of that kind of exchange was really cool.
Oh my God. I literally got goosebumps as you were telling me that story. What a beautiful, beautiful story. My goodness.
Yeah, I agree. I just feel really like, I think as a songwriter, my main goal is to like move through life open to interesting things happening and with like my antenna up, right? And just try and capture as much as I can. So I don't even think of it as much as like creativity anymore as I think about it as like paying attention, just like going through life with your eyes open and paying attention and being open to people, because there's so many, yeah, there's just so many amazing stories like that that I've been like able to be a part of, or like that song to me is a gift that I am able to give to other people, but I received it first, right? It was a gift when it came to me. It's like, oh, how cool to be able to have this experience and then get a song about it and share that song back to the other person. It's just, yeah, I feel very lucky to when I get to do those things. It's not with every song for sure, but when it happens, I feel very lucky.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. We're going to spin those two songs here. We got Santa Fe and Artist's Life. And then when we come back, unfortunately, we do have to wind down the show a little bit, but I do have one more song I want to chat about before we do that.
4 a.m. and I'm off to Santa Fe. Dirty my soul's in the red earth if my flight don't get delayed. And is it so wrong to be longing for escape? Hey. I wanna love you where the air is thin. I wanna love you where the air is thin. Easy to love you where the love comes easy. On Canyon Road, where the beauty won't shut up, I start to wonder. Somebody's wife, I laid it all on the line the day that I met you. You said, yeah, that's okay, you wanted it just the same. A woman who stokes a fire that's burning true. you see, you saw something just like the future when you looked into my eyes. I was showing in galleries. Yeah, the colors bled out of me. A burst of love and life. Got pregnant in early June. You said, do what you wanna do. So I made a life with you. My masterpiece. Cause I saw something just like the future when I looked into your eyes. Yeah, I saw something just like the future when I looked into your eyes. Yeah. In Santa Fe, yeah, it always starts out that way. This land calls out to wild hearts hungry for a home. So we settle on Summer Drive. I'd never felt so alive, and I lost you the next year. I never thought to leave. Now I rent the old house out, the one that we dreamed about. My paintings are hanging silently upon the wall, and our daughter lives down the way. We have coffee every day, and sometimes the words she'll say are echoes of yours. And I see something just like the future when I look into her eyes. Yeah, I see something just like the future when I look into her eyes.
Background Noise is brought to you by Easy Noise, Alberta's newest booking service for independent musicians and venues. Check them out on Instagram at EZNOIZE. Get connected and make some noise. Now back to the show.
We are back. Thank you so much for tuning into Background Noise today. I hope you enjoyed the episode as much as I did. We were chatting with Von Beaker, the bow tie rock and folk guy of YEG.
You made it rhyme now. I feel like this is like, this is going to have to stick after this episode.
Thank you. Thank you. I tried really hard. As you can tell throughout the episode, it got a little better and better. We worked it.
It's getting tighter and tighter. Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm noticing. Yeah. I have to hire you for some PR.
Oh, thank you. The last song I want to chat about is off your latest album, the 2024 album, Dumb Hope. I thought this would be a really good one to end with, The Little Things. Why don't you tell me about that song?
Yeah, what is there to say about that song? I mean, first of all, I love all your picks. You're a great listener, so thanks for taking the time with the songs. That song to me is kind of maybe for me like more of a, like a life philosophy. I think a lot of what I was trying to do with this record is trying to figure out how to have hope in times like these. What do I really believe about the world, the way the world works, what matters? And I think that's this song says a lot about it for me, kind of what my personal philosophy is. I have like an artist services company where I help artists, like I do home recording and I do release strategies and album design and all sorts of things. Basically helping artists like develop careers that make sense for them is my goal. And I call that small enough. And I think that's part of my philosophy too. I'm really drawn to like little and small things. It seems to be a recurring theme. I actually had 4 songs on this record that had the word little in the title, and I had to change the name of one of the songs just so that I didn't have that many songs that had little in the title, because I was like, this is too much. But I feel like we spend like, I mean, I think we see it now with like what's happening in the States. Not to get, I know this isn't a political show, but like for me, it's like we are so attracted to like the idea of the American dream. I know we're in Canada, but we still buy into this idea of greatness, right? We all want to be great. We all want to be bigger, better. But I think like if you really pay attention, the stuff that really moves the needle is all happening. It's all really small. It's like the really little actions of the people you know around you that actually make up how happy you are on any given day, or like, you know, that bring meaning to your life. So I'm not that interested in being great. I just want to be, I think it's more important to be good. And that should be good enough. So I was trying to capture that in a song. And this was like, it's kind of a list song in a funny way. Like writing it was really fun because I was trying to figure out a whole bunch of metaphors of how you describe that, right? So I think I probably spent one of the longer times writing this song than other songs, trying to make it, you know, all fit together, all these little puzzle pieces.
Beautiful. Well, I'm stoked to listen to that song right away here. Before we do, and before we end the show, is there anything we should be keeping an eye or an ear out on you for?
Yeah, well, I would say like, if you've enjoyed listening to me ramble on today, then probably the best thing to do if you want to hear more of that is I have a great kind of newsletter, kind of online fan community that I run called Backstage, and that's just backstage.vonbeeker.com. Or if you just go to vonbeeker.com, my website, you'll find it. You can get there through my bio link on Instagram. It's not hard to find. But that's kind of what my newsletter. I'll share like songs that I just shared a song that I wrote a couple weeks ago with that community last week. So it's the best way to kind of hear new music, hear what I'm working on, what I'm thinking about. I'll often ask kind of through that community that some people actually ended up on my last record. There's like on the song Dumb Hope, I didn't mention this before, but there's like a little choir on the last chorus, and that's all like people that I would know online through this community. So it's a great place to stay connected. And yeah, just vonbeeker.com or follow Von Beeker on Instagram. And I'm pretty loud about things when they're happening, so I'll make sure you know.
Amazing. Well, thank you again so much for coming on the show today, sharing all your stories, telling us about your songs. It was so much fun to chat with you. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Tori. You have a great ear and ask great questions. So this was a really, really wonderful way to spend a morning. Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, thank you. This is The Little Things by Von Beeker off of his 2024 album, Dumb Hope.
Like a bullet in an old drawer long forgotten, like a criminal who's grown too tired to run, like a prayer can start out sweet but then go rotten, like a poison thorn dug deep within my thumb. It's the little things that matter. It's the little steps we take. There's a moment I'd return to if I could now. There's a word that I would keep inside my mouth. There's a switch along the track that led me wayward.
But the train of time, it never turns around. It's the little things that matter. It's the little moves that we make. It's the little things that matter. It's the little cracks that break. Break us all apart. Is this who we really are? Break us all apart. Is this who we really are? It's a sharpened blade of grass beneath my bare foot. How a minor chord can make me come alive. It's the father who could die just from a bee sting. It's the way my Lord could take his precious time. It's the little things that get me. It's the little turns of the blade. It's the little love we offer. It's the little seed of faith.
Well, that's all I got for today, folks. Thanks so much for tuning into Background Noise. I had a blast. And hey, you know what? If you're a Canadian musician as well and you're thinking, I want to be on the show, just click the link in our Instagram bio at Background Noise the Show, and we'll try to set something up.